Welcome to Radio Today broadcasting in Johannesburg on 1485 AM and nationally on DSTV Audio, channel 869.
It's Thursday. It's 2 o'clock. It's time for...
Snips and Snippets.
Something like that, yeah. And a very good afternoon, everybody, from me, Jonathan Taylor, and as usual, Eddie on my right. But he's soon going to move to my left because he's going to move around the studio and get a third pair of headphones. Because this week I've got three guests in the studio. Two of them are working together, and they're hosting an acoustic evening tonight at TJ's at Marks Park. Those of you who know TJ's, it's a wonderful venue. It's TJ's Acoustic Club and all kinds of evenings, mostly acoustic music, which is a nice change from all the loud thump, thump. There'll be no drums. There'll be some bass, but acoustic guitars, clear voices, pure music. And I also have Corinne Willoughby, who you may remember as an actress in the mainstream in Johannesburg some years ago, but decided to get out of the mainstream and go to Bathurst. Why Bathurst, Corinne?
The wind blew me there.
The wind blew you there. Mm-hmm. And is it still blowing or has it stopped blowing? Because you seem so quite settled there.
Yeah, very settled. But then every now and again the wind tosses me back to Joburg direction.
And it's really nice to have you back in Joburg here. And you're doing a little performance, a one-off performance of your show, which you performed at the Grahamstown Festival.
That's right.
Got very nice reviews. And it's called I'm Not Going to Rehab, I'm Going to Mauritius. When are you going to Mauritius?
With the proceeds of this wonderful... epic drama.
This wonderful drama. But tell us about the evening tomorrow night.
Okay, it's just a little showcase for my friends. I want them to see what I've been up to. And I think it lends itself to the soiree kind of thing.
Because you're doing it in a private home, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I think we should stress this is not for the public, because you're going to be doing, hopefully, a run of it later on at a venue.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I'm actually in Joburg for. I'm looking for venues.
Right.
Probably for next year.
So tomorrow night is like a little teaser.
Yes.
A little teaser.
Yeah.
And what we're doing...
showcase.
Which Corinne has very kindly offered to do, is the first five people who phone the station at 011-880-0329, the first five people can get a double invitation to come and see the show tomorrow night. We won't give the address on the air.
No.
But if you phone the station, we'll get your details, and Corinne will get back to you. But now tell us in a while about the show.
Okay.
We'll come back to you.
Okay.
Costa and Claude, you guys have been playing forever in a little band called Fiatbach. Sounds Russian, isn't it?
Yes, yes. It's hi, everybody. It's a Russian of Russian origin. No, it's actually the problem is we can't spell. So it's actually called Feedback. but it's spelled F-E-A-D-B-A-C, so that's the band.
That's cute. And how long have you guys been playing together?
Since the late 70s.
Late 70s.
Yeah.
Wow. And let's just explain the connection between you two, because I don't think you found each other in a studio, did you?
No. I married his sister.
That was a very clever thing to do.
she was the keyboardist in our band at the time.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I didn't know America played keyboard as well.
Yes, the original band goes all the way back to the sort of middle to late 70s.
Right.
My sister on keyboards, another friend of mine on guitar who's now in Canada, and Paul, who's in the UK, who was playing bass.
Right.
And then Claude on drums.
But your family was quite musical, wasn't it? Your brother also played guitar, didn't he?
Yes, I kind of picked up the guitar thing from my brother, yeah.
Yeah.
My sister played piano, yeah.
Yeah, but now you guys are doing it the clever way, because you don't rely on your music for a living, do you?
No.
You guys are amongst those sensible people who have real jobs.
Well, yes, yeah.
Some people say we're doing it the right way. Some people might say we sold out. and went to work for the man.
But did you sell out? Because surely, the fact that you've got steady jobs and that you've got a living, that you don't rely on your music for a living, it kind of frees you creatively, doesn't it? Because you don't have that pressure to, you know, to that you have to earn money from it. You can basically do what you like with your music.
Yes, I think definitely it's a nice release, stress release. And we enjoy it. We love it. We do all the music that we grew up with, classic rock, and can't wait. You know.
Yeah. Now look, I've heard you guys before, and you're pretty good. And what I mean, what would happen if, say, for instance, after the acoustic evening tomorrow night, or after one of your gigs, I know you do Tanino's quite a lot. If someone came up to you and said, "Okay, I really like you guys. I want to book you on the ship for the next 6 months."
Yes, well,
cross that bridge when you get
Well,
there.
Think about it. Think about it. In the meantime, let's have headphones on because we're going to play a round of snips and snippets. As usual, I'll play the first snip. You get 3 points if you name the tune and 1 point for the artist. And whoever says the correct answer out first gets the point. And Eddie is the judge. Eddie, can we have snip number one, please? It's very short. Like I said, it's very
knock,
short.
Knock, knocking on heaven's door.
3 points to Corrine. You are on the board, Corrine. Now, I've got to work out. I've got three score lines here, and they all begin with C. Corrine, 3 points. And the name of the artist?
Bob Dylan.
Bob, I think it was Claude. I wasn't looking. Was Claude. Claude, wow, yeah. Okay, so Claude's on the board. That was very good. Knock, knock, knock on heaven. How did you recognize that with such a short
Because
snip?
I know my Dylan.
You know Dylan. That's, okay, very good. So, now, some questions. Knock on Heaven's Door came from a movie. It was used in a movie. What is the name of the movie?
Wasn't it Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid?
Corrine, you are streaking away. Well, not literally streaking, but...
like I said, I know my Dylan.
And it's been used other times as well. An acoustic performance of Knocking on Heaven's Door was played at the Rambler Room, Loyola College, on November the 17th, 1978. What was the name of the band that did that? See, now they start getting a bit harder.
The band?
The band that did an acoustic performance of Knocking on Heaven's Door at the Rambler Room, Loyola College, 1978. I assume it's a well-known performance because it was quite easy to find the details of it. Wasn't it? Who?
Wasn't it the band called The Band?
No, it wasn't The Band, no. Okay. It was. I'll give you a clue. They're not thankful to be alive.
The Grateful Dead.
They're grateful dead. Well done,
Cross. Sorry, I'm a late start. Right, well, let's get the game going.
I know, yeah, but we'll get it, yeah. In 1996, and with the consent of Bob Dylan, Scottish musician Ted Christopher wrote a new verse for Knocking on Heaven's Door. What was the occasion that he wrote that new verse for? No?
I pass.
I'll give you, he was Scottish, remember? And it was in memory of an incident that made big news in Scotland at the time.
The death of Diana?
No, it wasn't the death.
A soccer riot?
The death of Diana, no, no.
What year again?
1996. Yeah, and in fact, this is one of the few times that Dylan has officially authorized anybody to add or change the lyrics to one of his songs.
The Lockerbie disaster?
You're getting close, but it wasn't Lockerbie. I'll tell you, it was the Dunblane School Massacre. Okay. Okay. You're right. And so I don't suppose you'll know who sang on that.
No.
It was the children from the village singing with another well-known guitarist. Guess his name. Guess his name.
Scottish?
No, not Scottish. Sounds German, but he's English. And I'll be doing one of his songs at the acoustic evening tonight. There
Mark
you go.
Knopfler.
Knopfler, quite right.
Oh, yeah, Dylan's played with him quite a lot.
There you go. Knopfler was... There seems to be a whole chain going from Woody Guthrie, Bob Dylan, Mark Knopfler, because Bob Dylan was a huge fan of Woody Guthrie, and in fact went and sang to him in the hospital when he was dying of cancer. Oh. Knopfler was the huge Dylan fan. And in fact, I have to say, when I first heard Dire Straits, the first thing was Sultans of Swing. And they said, this is new wave. And I thought, that's not. It sounds like Bob Dylan. But, yeah, you're quite right. So that's another one. Was that your first point?
Second.
That's your second point, yeah. I mustn't get confused.
Yeah, don't not give me points.
Yeah, no. A couple more questions. Bob Dylan's full real name, please.
Robert Zimmerman. We got a tie. 1.5 points each.
No, because the point is for the middle name.
Oh.
No, it's Alan. It's Alan.
And I never knew that.
What inspired him to calling himself Bob Dylan?
The poet.
Which poet?
Dylan Thomas.
Correct, Costa. On the board. Very good. Well, you're on the board already. Just a couple of questions about 1941, when Bob Dylan was born. The U.S., in the United States, a bill named the fourth Tuesday in November as a special day every year in 1941. They commemorated this day, fourth Thursday at least of November. Americans will be screaming the answer. What's it called? Think of the Grateful Dead. No? It's Thanksgiving Day.
Oh.
Yeah. Who parachuted into Scotland in 1941 and was captured by British forces? No? No?
Bader?
No. He was shot down over Germany.
Okay.
Over Germany. And I'll give you a clue. He's not the red-nosed reindeer.
Rudolph
who?
I don't know.
Rudolph?
Rudolph Hess.
Rudolph Hess.
There we go. Now you got it.
You've got it, Cross. Okay, we're getting tired here. Let's have a little music break. Here's Bob Dylan with Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Save more with our Pick and Pay Low Price Carnival 2015. Get 750 grams of Frisco Original or Granules for R58.90. 750 grams of Kellogg's Corn Flakes Value Pack is R27.90. Buy 470 gram cans of Pick and Pay No Name Shredded Tuna in salt water for R36. 6x1 litre assorted Pick and Pay Long Life Milk is R53.70. And 5 kilograms of Pick and Pay Super Maize Meal is R25.90. Save more with our Pick and Pay Low Price Carnival. Prices are valid from the 15th to the 18th of October.
Welcome to the Barnyard Theatre. 50 Karat Gold, the 50 greatest songs of all time. The 50 greatest songs are the most defining moments in music history, featuring a 10-piece cast that will perform songs that have topped the charts for the last 60 years. 50 Karat Gold is a celebration of the golden song moments that have rocked our world.
50 Karat Gold, now on at the Crest of Barnyard Theatre until the 31st of December. Book now for your year-end function or office party.
For me, the struggle is over. Hey, but it used to be tough, hey? One pickup here, then it's too much. But you quoted me one load. But this is too heavy for one load. Well, I'm not paying for two. Yo, I struggled. But now I've got the Chevrolet Utility Iskorko. Still an easy van, but she carries more than 700 kilos. I live back here, Iskorko. Yo, make your life easy with Chevrolet Utility at chevrolet.co.za. Viva Iskorko. Chevrolet. Find new roads.
Hi, I'm David Severs.
Hi, you're listening to Harry Sideropoulos.
I'm Malcolm Terry.
Hello, from Michael Richard.
Hello, from Fiona Ramsey.
And if you're listening to us, then you're lucky enough to be listening to Radio Today.
Today, South Africans share their lives with you here on Radio Today.
And here on Radio Today, Corinne Willoughby is in the lead by 4 points. Second points, breathing up a tail, is Costa. And in a very creditable third place, only 1 point behind, is Claude, but we're moving on. I want to talk about, I'm not going to rehab, I'm going to Mauritius. Tell us the history of that, the play, how did it come about?
Well, life.
Life.
Life experience, my friend's life experiences. It's a story of two women, and I play both parts in my madness.
Are you jumping around from one side to another?
Yeah. And obviously heavily reliant on my voice. I have to change the voice.
Give us an example.
I will, just now.
That was one voice that was very nice, yeah.
I will.
I'm sick of these children!
You know?
Right.
It's an intangible moment. Like that.
And the significance of the title, I'm not going to rehab, I'm going to Mauritius. Is this like a...
You'll have to come see the play.
I have a slight resonance in my head of the... They told me I gotta go to rehab, but I said no, I'm going to Mauritius. Is it something?
No,
like
this is one of the chicks in the play, and she says this sarcastically to her estranged husband on the telephone.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay, but is she in rehab?
No, not at all. But he obviously wishes that she would go there, right, as far away as possible. It's basically the story of two women and the hardships that they go through, the grief, the loss, the blah blah, and how they come out relatively unscathed, yeah, as we do.
And is one of them or both of them having a problem with substances that they need rehab?
No.
Oh,
no,
so
it's a joke.
It's a joke.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so that line just comes up.
Yes.
For the
I always like to pick a line from the play.
Right.
Yeah. People okay, obviously will. That's where this title comes from. You see.
Okay. So in fact, the play is not about rehab
Mauritius.
It's a bit like Monty Python's Flying Circus. They called it Monty Python's Flying Circus because there's no such person as Monty Python. It doesn't fly, and it's not a circus. And what made you decide to do it? First of all, tell us about Grahamstown, because you did it at the festival.
Mm.
You got a good review, which I couldn't find, but maybe you can tell us a bit of what it said.
Well, it's actually an every woman's story. What my director, my wonderful director, says, this is for women and sensitive men.
Metrosexuals.
And, yes, there we go.
I think there are three, maybe four in the studio. Are you a metrosexual, Eddie?
No.
What are you? Eddie's just got married not so long ago, so he's still trying to find his place in that universe.
Okay. Ooh.
It takes about 20 years. Sorry,
It's fine. You may digress.
I interrupted you a little
You're
bit
allowed.
There. Yeah. The sensitivity.
Yeah, it is quite a sensitive piece, but there is some humor.
Of course.
Yeah, the one chick is more serious than the other one.
Mm.
So there's a nice, I like to think, light and shade. Yeah, and it's 45 minutes long, so there's no time to get bored. And it's a listening piece. I almost describe it as visual radio. I don't move around a lot.
Yeah.
But you have to listen. You have to pay attention.
Quite right. It's in the words, in other words.
It is. It is in the words.
But it's funny. There are quite a few plays like that which are
wordy, and you almost think, you know, we could do this on radio. Mm. But somehow, I'm thinking of another play, A.R. Gurney's Love Letters, which is very much like that. It's written just to be read.
Mm.
And there's no acting, there are no actions, there are no movements. And yet, I don't think it would work on radio.
Funny.
Yeah.
I wonder if mine would. I don't know.
We'll try it. Go. How about giving us can you give us an extract?
Yes.
A couple of minutes?
I'll give you the intro.
Oh, okay.
And the intro has got, I'll give you a little snippet, all right. Okay. About fear, about indifference, about anything you can dredge up from the abyss and pour from the pen to resurrect a squashed up dream. The door slid shut on its tenuous hinge, and you drank from euphoria's chipped cup. Then the dawn slunk in, and you grabbed freedom by the throat and rejoiced, until the tiny niggle of, so, what now, began, like an intermittent itch. Talk to faith, shed no sign of regret, because the truth is what you seek, like a mantra wrapped up in a poem. This is the story of two women. Excuse me?
What?
Well, we must try and make them understand something.
What? We don't.
That's your snippet.
That's snippet. Very good. Thank you. So that was a snip and a snippet of I'm not going to rehab, I'm going to Mauritius. Now, you have these two ladies, they're friends,
they become friends.
Yeah.
They meet on a train in the end.
Okay, so they're strangers and... Yeah. But they meet on this train at the end.
At the very end, yeah.
So what happens until then? If they haven't met, how can they be in a play together?
Because that's poetic license.
Yeah.
And they're sitting, I've got in-between scenes where they're actually sitting together checking the play out. Checking the progress.
Okay.
Yeah.
This sounds like something you've got to go and see for yourself.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Yeah.
I love that. I love things that are hard to describe because... that's why we do them. That's why.
Obviously they meet on the train and they become friends and they decide to create something. It's
right.
Quite obvious.
Ah,
in the
plan.
It's all
okay,
in the plan. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's one of the things I love about a lot of the arts, music especially, visual arts, is music evokes certain things which you cannot explain in words. That's why you have to have music.
Mm.
And sometimes it's just impossible and it's futile to try and describe kind of what this particular piece of music is about, because it's not about anything. It's a...
That's right.
Yeah. But let's go on to Costa and Claude and Fiedbach. Feedback. feedback. I'm sure we're going to get a lot of feedback from this. Tell us about about TJ's Acoustic Evening. This is not the first one you've organized, is it?
No, this is the second one. We've been involved with TJ's for about 3 years now.
More?
Or maybe four.
Yeah.
It was formed in about 1991. Mm-hmm. And
it's an acoustic club.
It's an acoustic club. And it's a very nice, safe environment for anyone who wants to go and perform that plays any instrument. It's not necessarily an acoustic guitar.
Mm.
Yeah. And the audience is very supportive.
They're very attentive.
Yeah.
Mm. Attentive, yeah.
Yeah. Is it usually friends and family that come around? I mean, it's not that big.
Well, yes. The people that are performing are encouraged to bring along their mates and so on. But there are regulars there.
They have a following. They have quite a big following.
And it's also...
How long has it been going for?
Since 91.
I think I have been there.
Hasn't always been at Mark's Park. I think it bounced around. It was in Randburg at some stage. I can't remember the other places, but...
Now, Andy Gibbons...
Andy McGibbons.
Andy McGibbons, sorry, son of, not the father. Andy McGibbons does an acoustic evening there once a month.
Yes.
So, but of course, there he insists only on original music.
That's correct.
Yeah. You can't do covers. Is that part of TJ's Acoustic Club as well, or is that just at the venue?
I don't think so. I think Andy's got his own show going on there.
Right.
And TJ's has its own.
Right. And the admission is just 25 Rand.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
Well, for that sort of level of entertainment, I think...
I think you're selling yourself short. Because there's some pretty decent people. Tell us who's in... tell us a bit about the people who are playing
So tonight we have a lineup of about four acts. It's myself and Claude who are kicking it off, hopefully.
Now, Claude, you're normally a drummer, but you won't be playing drums.
No, singing.
In acoustic evening.
Yeah, singing.
Yeah. I'm just trying to get the... other limit, because obviously you can have an electric bass and you have acoustic guitars plugged in electrically.
Yes.
So what is the limitation? No electric guitars, no drums, no synthesizers?
No, I think the limitation is more no backtracks.
Backtracks.
So there have been there have been bands with drums.
Yeah. Mm.
Full on bands, the whole thing, keyboards. We try to get a more acoustic, well, certainly for the shows that we host, so that we can have, so that people can be creative, and they have nothing, no crutches to lean on.
Yeah.
Basically, it's
guitar,
vocals, and live people playing live music.
In other words, real music.
Yeah.
Mm. And a very attentive audience.
Yeah.
Very attentive.
Mm. Mm. Is that because TJ stands at the back with a mallet? Yeah. But going on to backtracks, I mean, that's become the standard now, and I know there are a lot of venues who won't hire musicians if they don't have backtracks. But as far as I'm concerned, the minute you're using those backtracks, it just makes everybody sound the same.
Mm.
And it just takes away that live feeling.
I agree.
You know, backtracks has its pros and cons, I think.
Sure. It depends on the situation, I'm sure.
Yes. And the size of the venue, unfortunately, as well.
Of course.
To have full band, drums.
Sorry, I'm just destroying the studio.
Give Eddie his leg back, please.
Just going back to feedback, it started off as a five-piece band, and we kind of fizzled away and formed a two-man band, and there we used backtracks.
Mm, sure.
And the pros about that is it actually kept the band alive for a good couple of years.
Sure,
And then about 2 years ago, we decided, you know what, let's just get rid of the backtracks and get back into a full band.
It.
Claude needs to work for his money now, so he plays drums as opposed to singing only. And
are you going to be playing drums tonight?
No. Tonight is just acoustic.
But you're talking about the size of the venue, for instance. I mean, I can, obviously this is just my personal feeling, but I would rather see one man with one guitar, even if it's at the teatro, than one man with a full orchestral backing that's coming out of a computer.
I agree.
Yes. Yeah.
Certainly sometimes one works with backing tracks in musicals, and the minute there's a backing track, one can feel on stage that this is now regimented. This is now, it's not breathing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not breathing. First of all, the tempo is absolutely irregular from beginning to end, which means it's really difficult to pull and push in certain sections.
And there's no room for ad-lib.
No room for ad-lib at all.
No.
No room for adding, no room for...
Nothing.
For subtraction, it just goes like a train. And a lot of the time, I find it harder to keep time with a backing track, even if it's really loud and present, than with live musicians. And I think that's because sometimes if, as a lead singer, for I'll give you an example. Some years ago, I did Phantom of the Opera. And I started off with a fairly difficult singing bit, which was in a 15-16 timing. Right? It's an odd bar. And there was only quiet strings in the background, and I was way upstage, and I couldn't hear them. So I had to watch the conductor. But the conductor, a brilliant guy called George Mickey, was conducting classical style. And I couldn't understand his beat. And I went to him, it was still during rehearsals, you know, while we were setting up, couple of days before we opened them, I said, George, I don't, you know, I'm not a classical musician. I don't understand your beat on the conducting. Can you tell me where is the actual beat? He said, don't worry, I'm following you. Which is...
The blind leading the blind.
Excuse me.
I'm a drummer. My timing... Finished.
Right. Right, exactly. Well, once you're playing, you can't hear anybody else anyway. You heard about the bass player who locked his keys in the car, didn't you?
No.
Took them 2 hours to get the drummer out.
Thanks.
Yeah. Let's take a break. Let's play Snips and Snippets. Headphones on. Eddie, snip number one, please.
I'll show her away.
He put the pop in the something.
Who put the pop in the bop shi bop shi bop? I know the song you're thinking of, but it's not that. No. No? Any idea? Next snip, Eddie?
And well,
he rides around on a big white horse. He's as cool as he can be. And my baby fell in love with him when she saw him on TV.
No idea.
Do you recognize the singing voice, by the way?
Yes, but I can't place it.
No, snip number three, Eddie. You may hear the title here.
Bang, bang. He's the Lone Team Ranger.
I'll silver away.
Lone Teen Ranger.
Who said Lone Teen Ranger, Eddie?
Oh.
No, we all did.
You all did. Okay.
They didn't say teen.
No, somebody said Teen Ranger. Somebody said Lone Ranger.
I said Lone Ranger. You said teen.
Did I?
Teen.
Yes,
you did. All right, we'll give them 1 point each.
There we go.
That's. Did Costa say anything?
I said Lone something.
Yeah. Okay, no, you said Lone.
Combined if.
Claude, you get a point for Ranger. And Corinne, you get a point for teen. But who's the singer? Play snip two. I think you hear the
Dale Shannon.
Yeah,
the voice just as well. Yeah. It's not Dale Shannon.
Well, he rides around on a big white horse. He's as cool as he can be. And my baby fell in love with him when she saw him on TV.
No?
There's probably someone out there saying,
"Come on, you know."
Well, you do know this singer's real name, but he didn't record this under his real name. It was one of his pseudonyms before he started using his real name.
Oh my God, it's getting complicated.
I'll tell you the artist's name is Jerry Landis.
Jerry Lewis?
Not Lewis. Who is Jerry Landis?
Jerry and the Pacemakers?
Not Jerry Lee Lewis, no. Jerry Landis.
Is it Jerry somewhere?
Frankie Lane?
No.
Jerry and the Pacemakers?
I'll give you another clue. He then teamed up with a very good friend of his, and they called themselves Tom and Jerry before they used their real names.
It's the
Everly Brothers.
No. They love the Everly Brothers. They modeled a lot of their singing on the Everly Brothers. The Everly Brothers were a bit older than them. No. Jerry Landis' real name. I'll give you some of his other names that he used. Were Paul Kane and True Taylor. But a Paul might be a little clue. Play snip number two again. Just listen to
the. Around on a big white horse, he's as cool as he can be. And my baby fell in love with him when she saw him on TV.
No, and you don't know who Tom and Jerry were either.
I do. I'll know.
You
this.
Do, and you're going to kick yourself, yeah. Aren't you? I wonder if I can give you another clue, or if I just have to tell you exactly.
Oh, tell us.
I'll give you a clue. Tom's real first name is Arthur. But he's usually known by the shortening of Arthur, which is Art.
Paul Simon. Arfunkel.
Paul Simon. Well done, Claude.
Well done.
Well, it's close.
Good. That was like Paul pulling teeth.
Jerry Landis was Paul Simon.
Good God, I didn't know
Paul
that.
Simon's
yeah. Okay. That was Paul Simon. Play it again, and now listen to the timbre.
No, I don't get it at all.
Remember, he was about 18 or 19 when he did this.
This is even
before Tom and Jerry. Yeah, but anyway, that's Paul Simon as Jerry Landis doing the Lone Teen Ranger. So yeah, and of course Tom and Jerry were Simon and Garfunkel. They made some recordings before they became Simon and Garfunkel. How old were they when they met?
12.
12 is closer than 16.
14.
No, that's too far
13.
Away.
13.
No.
11.
Claude got it in first. Claude has drawn level with Corinne. Costa's just 1 point behind. There's only one song I can think of, I think it's the only one, that actually refers to Garfunkel directly, but not as Art, by his other name. It's a song that Paul Simon wrote when Art Garfunkel went down to Mexico to...
Julio.
No, to act in Catch 22, and Paul was going to be all on his own in New York, and in fact the song starts with Art's other name. Remember Tom and Jerry?
Fly down to Mexico.
That's the one. What's the song called?
New York.
And here I am.
The only living boy in New York.
The only living boy in New York. Yeah, Tom, get your plane right on time.
It's a lovely song.
There we go. Yeah, we're getting there. Are we getting there? Any idea? Lone Teen Ranger did get into the top 100 on the pop charts. Any idea what position it peaked at?
10.
No, 99.
That's close.
Who said this? If you can get Paul Simon to write a song about you, do it, because he is so brilliant at it. It's somebody he wrote a few songs about. And who, funny enough, is a bit kind of current at the moment, because there's a whole revival of a set of movies that's been played recently on various DSTV channels.
Not Keith Richards or something.
You're right, it's not Keith Richards.
I thought not.
No, it's one of his ex-wives, Carrie Fisher. Oh,
okay.
Hey, Star Wars.
Yeah. Which failure reportedly cost Simon $11 million? He did have a failure. Big production of his own that bombed badly.
That's why we don't know it.
That's why you don't know it. The Cape Man. Have you heard of The Cape Man?
No, no.
It was a Broadway musical which he wrote and produced. And as brilliant as his songs are, they're just not conducive to Broadway, I think. Anyway, 1962 was when The Lone Teen Ranger came out. What did Ranger 4 do in 1962?
Ranger 4.
Ranger 4.
Ranger 4.
1V. Ranger number 4. Oh. It landed on the moon. What was used for the first time in Houston by plastic surgeons? Cosmetic surgery.
Silicon.
Yes, silicon breast implants. I'm
really?
I'm going to give you
I
a
took
point
a flyer.
For that. Yeah. And the first ever flavored crisps came out. What flavor were they?
Cheese.
No.
Salt.
Salt. And
salt
vinegar.
And vinegar. Costa. Very good. This is very close. It's Corinne's got 7, Claude's got 5, Costa's got 5, and we've got The Lone Ranger by Jerry Landis.
I'll soar away.
There goes the Lone Teen Ranger. Oh, he rides around on a big white horse. He's as cool as he can be. And my baby fell in love with him when she saw him on TV. And since that day, I'm sorry to say, she hasn't had time for. Cause he goes bang, bang. He's the Lone Teen Ranger.
I'll silver away.
There goes the Lone Teen Ranger. To save my soul, I can't get a date, and you know who's to blame. Since the Lone Teen Ranger came around, my girlfriend's not the same. Crying shame, cause he goes bang, bang. He's the Lone Teen Ranger.
My pony!
For me. Yeah, bop, bop,
well, you better watch out, cause I'm getting mad. And here's what I'm gonna do. Gonna wear a mask, get a ride a horse, and carry a six-gun too. And when my baby looks at me, she's gonna love me too. Cause I'll go bang, bang.
He's the Lone Teen Ranger. Pile silver, there he goes. He's the Lone Teen Ranger.
That masked man.
You don't know? That's the Lone Teen Ranger.
Garden Shop.
Garden Shop is more than a wonderful garden experience. They integrate home decor, pet, pool, flower, and coffee shops to ensure a total shopping and leisure experience at all their branches. With shops countrywide, there's a garden shop near you. Just call 0861 427 336 for details of your nearest garden shop or visit their website at www.gardenshop.co.za.
Garden Shop.
I'm proud to announce that today I registered as an organ donor. I never knew it was so easy. It only takes a few minutes. All you need to do is visit the Organ Donor Foundation's Facebook page or register online at odf.org.za. One organ donor can save 7 lives. You can save 7 lives. Register now and be proud too.
This is Radio Today, broadcasting in Johannesburg on 1485 AM and nationally on DSTV audio channel 869.
Thank you, Michael McGovern, for giving us our place in the universe. Now, getting on to back to the acoustic evening tonight, we've got Costa and Claude on guitar and vocals.
Yes.
John and Donnie, tell us
John
about
John and Donnie, they're also a good friend of ours. They've also been sort of as a duo going back about 30 years.
Yeah, they met in the army.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, poor
they've got
people.
A band called Soiree. And they play sort of poppy folk type stuff. After that, we've got a chap called, I'm not sure if you know him, Jonathan Taylor Trevor.
Doesn't he back Trevor Muller when Trevor Muller
That's
plays bass?
Yeah. So we've got Jonathan Taylor, then we've got Excuse me,
what did you say, Eddie?
No.
Followed by Graham and a group, Graham and a bunch of musicians in his group. I've forgotten all their names, but it's called Spice Diversity. And then the show will be closed by a group called Exploding Plastic Inevitable. It's a chap called Adrian Ziller. And apparently a choir of eight people. But I'm also looking forward to it.
Why it's exploding? I know why it's called the Exploding Plastic Inevitable.
Why?
Because it's not inevitable, it's not made of plastic, and it doesn't explode. But anyway, that's tonight, starting at 8 o'clock. Okay? Doors open 7:30 at Marks Park. If Marks Park is in Judith Road, what suburb is that? Melville yet? Or
no.
Melville, what is it? Emerentia? Is it?
It's Emerentia.
Anyway, Marks Park, Judith Emerentia. Road is that windy road that goes between Barry Herzog and Beyers Nordea.
Yeah.
And as you come in, it's on the right. As you come into Marks Park, it's the venue on the right. Doors open 7. There are light meals available. They're very nice, actually.
Yes,
I've had them before.
Light meals, yes.
Yeah, and there's a cash bar, of course, and tickets are only 25 Rand each. So come along for a really nice evening of decent acoustic music. And, Corinne, I asked you this before, but you didn't give me a satisfactory answer. Why Bathurst? How did you come to land up in Bathurst?
Well, I went with a very close friend. When my mother passed away, she left me some money, and a friend and myself went to the Grahamstown Festival, and he introduced me to Bathurst, and he said, I've bought a plot here, maybe you should think about investing, which I did, and I've sold it. But anyway, it drew me to Bathurst.
But you're still in Bathurst. And what do you... I mean, there can't be much a big market for theatre in...
No.
In Bathurst.
But I'm the best actress in Bathurst because I'm the only actress in Bathurst. I'm also the best director in Bathurst.
And you do a pantomime once a year.
Yeah, we do. We do lots of sort of fun things, pantomimes that I get involved there. And I just scratch out a living. I work in a restaurant. Yeah. I teach yoga. And, yeah.
But you've been doing the festival regularly with one
I haven't for a while.
Or
two handers or one.
Two handers, yeah.
I haven't for a while. This is the first time in 5 years, but... I ain't stopping now.
No, don't ever stop. You can't. I mean, can you?
No, of course not. You know that.
Somebody once said, an actor never gives up the theatre. The theatre gives up an actor.
Nice.
And is there enough of that in Bathurst there to satisfy your creative urges?
Not really, but what I'm intending to do with this, I want to go to the little villages in the Eastern Cape. I'm determined to. Or in and around Bathurst. There's Kenton-on-Sea, there's Kleinemonde, of course there's Port Alfred.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping to go to PE in East London.
Ford's Theatre in PE.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, something like that.
The Guild Theatre in East London. That's
no, that's
a bit
too
big.
But there are other places. I've got connections.
I've got connections,
yes. But isn't one person play daunting, be on your own?
Yes, it is. I sickled to learn my own words, I must say. It took me ages because it's a very disjointed piece. But I like taking full responsibility. Mm-hmm. I do.
And the plus side, of course, is that if you do, especially if you've written the piece yourself, if you do dry on stage or get a bit lost, you can
absolutely
make it up as you go along.
I tell myself that when I'm poop scared and I'm going on stage, nobody knows, darling, just cover it. I can just hear my director, I can feel him straining a poop string in the background.
And of course there is that thing of that there's no one around to mess it up for you.
Yeah.
You know, there's no danger of someone else, of another actor messing it up for you. Yeah. You can mess it up for yourself. But
indeed, you can dare to do that all on your own.
You've missed your cue.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, what, Acosta, you've always played in bands. Have you done solo work as well?
No, I haven't. I've dabbled around in my... I've got a little studio at home. I've written a couple of my own
songs.
Some
good stuff.
I'm sure.
But,
are you going to be doing any of that tonight? Any of your own songs tonight?
No.
Chicken.
You know, it's funny, you listen to your own music and you actually don't quite like it. So I think
you know, you
we'll be the judge of that.
Yeah. You know what you have to do, and I've discovered this as well. You've got to write it, put it away, and forget about it for a while and come back to it much later.
Yes, you're quite right.
I've dug up a couple of songs that I wrote in going back to 20 years or so. And that also, I hated them. And I look at them now, I think, it's quite nice. I should finish that second verse, you know.
Well, we do have one song that we play in the band that I've written, and it's quite nice to play, I think.
No, we don't play it enough.
But guitars are your passion, aren't they? I mean, just...
Yes, I build and restore guitars. I don't do luthier work, but I get bits and pieces from various guitars. Mm. I do a bit of spray work as well.
So in other words, you may come up with a Gibson Stratocaster.
I try to keep true to the
or a Fender Les Jerry. Is it difficult finding the parts? I mean, if somebody comes along with a guitar and they're missing this part, the neck is cracked.
Depends on the parts. I think there are local suppliers. There's some good stock in some of the local music shops. I do a lot of my purchasing from overseas as well, off eBay.
Right.
But no, not really. You know.
What's the one restoration or rebuild that you're most proud of?
I think I did a Bart Simpson guitar once. With all the Bart Simpson characters.
Now, who makes that out? Is that a regular guitar name
No. It's just all the characters of the Simpsons. I'm quite a Simpsons fan.
Oh, I see. You did it from scratch. But what was the guitar originally?
It was a Fender shape.
Right.
Well, it's electric. It's an electric. Yeah. It was originally yellow and it looked too dull, so I painted all the characters and things on.
And tell me, can you do things like, you know, when a guitar's out of tune, if the frets are in the wrong place?
Well, the frets generally won't be in the wrong place unless it's a really badly built guitar from
the beginning,
you know, if the frets could be unlevel, and you level them and do a whole bunch of work to get the action set correctly, and the intonation and all that kind of stuff,
and that affects the tuning, doesn't it?
Yes, definitely. Yeah,
because I don't think I've ever found a guitar that's completely in tune all the way up and down the fretboard.
No, and
is there such a thing?
They say that, you know, it's extremely difficult to get that, you know, unless it's a really perfect, but you know, science dictates that it's just not going to be because of the dynamics of everything else.
The dynamics of pressing down on the string, which changes the tension.
So you can get it as close as possible within the human ear to that you can't really pick it up.
And of course, the human ear has become a lot more discerning. I mean, I was listening to the Rolling Stones not so long ago, some of their early stuff, and I never thought it was out of tune then. But the guitars are out of tune because we've got so used to electronic tuning. And the tuning is so precise that even when you can't hear what note is out of tune, if something's slightly out, it just sounds all wrong.
Yeah.
But let's see if this sounds all right. Put the headphones on, please. We're going to play the last round. Excuse me. I had a bad night last night. Let's have snip number one, please, Eddie.
Toto.
Well done.
It is Toto. Well done. That's 1 point for Costa. The name of the song?
I'll Be Over You.
You will be. You'll be all over me with 3 points, Claude. Claude, you have leapt into the lead. Claude has 8 points. Corinne, you're 1 point behind. Because you're trading a bit on six, but here's some trivia questions. Let's see. Why did Mike Porcaro become unavailable to tour with a band this year?
He died.
Yeah. He did. Yes, Claude. Quite right. He died.
How inconvenient.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, a music video was shot of I'll Be Over You with a band playing on an apartment rooftop, but they didn't finish the shoot. Why? Why did they stop the video shoot?
The police stopped
it? No, that's simpler than that. It started raining. And those are all the questions I got for Toto. I couldn't find anything really. I don't think they're a very interesting group personally-wise. Do you have...
No dirt on them, you mean?
No, there's no dirt. There's
studio musicians. They were all excellent musicians.
They were all well-known studio musicians until they got together, which, you know, is quite interesting to musicians. But anyway, I'll Be Over You was a hit in 1986. So I got a few questions about 1986. What did Spain and Portugal joined up? What did Spain and Portugal join in 1986? A big organization. No, I'll tell you, it was the EEC. The European Economic Community. You see, that's one of those questions that I was hoping to say, the European Union. And I would say, no, that wasn't, that the European Union wasn't built yet then. It was EEC. Who came to visit Earth for the second time in the 20th century in 1986?
Halley's Comet.
Comet Halley, correct. Oh, you're catching up. Who became the youngest heavyweight boxing champion in history?
Mike Tyson.
In 1980. Well, sorry, Karine, the guys are a bit ahead of you on... that's
asking
correct.
Asking boy questions.
It's Mike. Now, what did the Rutan Voyager do for the first time in 1986?
Landed on Mars.
No. It didn't even leave the world. I'll tell
nothing.
You. It was the first continuous non-stop flight around the world without refueling. But the last question, which I'm afraid means Claude is going to be the winner anyway because he's quite ahead. But this is an interesting question. In 1986, the 72-foot powerboat Challenger 2, there's another word before that, but I won't give it to you.
It's boy questions.
Yes, broke the world record for the fastest crossing of the Atlantic of a powerboat. Who was driving it?
Casiraghi?
No.
E.T.?
No, it wasn't E.T., but I'm going to give you a point for a creative wrong answer. I give points for a creative wrong answer. I'm going to
Richard
give you
Branson?
It was Richard Branson. How do you
wow,
know that?
Wow, you
Claude,
are
that,
sure.
That is really good, because of the clue I was going to give you was the Virgin Challenger. Yeah. How did you know it was Richard Branson? Did you just remember
that? Because he knows some stuff, this boy.
Just
knowledge. He watches a lot of TV.
Yeah, I love movies and I love TV.
And Richard Branson's quite a character, isn't he? I mean,
absolutely.
You know, rather than paying somebody else to go and do these dangerous things, he does. He's done a couple of those, hasn't he? Didn't he do something else?
Adrenaline junkie.
The hot air balloon thing.
Do you know Eddie? I don't mean do you know Eddie, because we know Eddie. Right, well, we've still got a few minutes left, believe it or not, and we're going to play out with I'll Be Over You with Toto. But not yet. So, is there anything else anyone wants to tell us about your music, your show, the previous stuff you did at the festival?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you've written a couple of other plays as well.
Yes, I wrote one 5 years ago about the death of my brother. And I played with this marvelous actor called Jonathan Taylor.
No, don't tell them. Don't tell them. What do you do with yourself during the day in Bathurst? I mean, if it's...
I do a lot of walking, I do a lot of reading, I do yoga, I socialize a lot.
I envy you living in such it must be peaceful and quiet. And
There's never a dull moment.
But
and
never
people
a dull
love
moment.
To talk about everybody else.
Well, guys, it's been very nice having you on the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let me give you the telephone number again. If anybody wants to come and see Corinne Willoughby's show, I'm not going to rehab. I'm going to Mauritius. Phone the station here. It's 011-880-0329. And just leave your details with Roy, who will probably answer the phone. And Corinne will contact you probably sometime either this evening or tomorrow. And she will tell you where it is and what time to be there. And yeah, and that's it. Any questions, Eddie?
No.
This is unusual. This is unusual that we actually have some time.
If I can say.
Yes.
Any inspiring guitarist wants to perform at TJ's, they have an open mic night on the last Thursday of...
I think if they check on the Facebook page...
You come, you play three songs, and if they like you, you get invited to the main evening, which is tonight.
Oh, right, okay. So that'll be tonight, 2 weeks, won't it? If it's the last Thursday.
Do they have
possibly,
it?
Possibly, yeah.
Do they have to call first? Or
no, you just pitch up, put your name on the board, and you play.
Kind of like an open mic, open mic thing for musicians. Well, yeah, it's... let me just... reiterate, our winner today is Claude, who, as usual, was the first person who said, "Oh, no, I'm terrible at all." It's amazing, Eddie. Whenever they say that they're bad at it. Coming second was the second person to say that she's useless at it, which was Corinne. And heading up last place, but only by 1 point, because he's only 1 point behind Corinne, is the one person who just sat there in quiet confidence. So, 011-880-0329, that's the Radio Today number, if you want to see I'm not going to rehab tomorrow night. And tonight at TJ's, but we're going to play out with Toto, and I'll be over you.
Somebody.